My name is Garland Robinson. In Acts chapter 23, we read of the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. He had gone there, and now being found by some of the antagonistic Jews, they seeing him as one who was a man in guilty of great evil, they mobbed him. They were seeking to take his life until he was rescued by Roman soldiers and taken into custody and given to Felix, the governor of that whole area. And we read in Acts the 24th chapter then, beginning in verse 24, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." When we think about this occasion, I cannot do so without being mindful of the fact that Felix had a soul. He had a soul just like mine. He had a soul just like yours. Felix was a man who had sinned, as all men do. We're told in Romans 3 and verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." A few verses later, in verse 23, we find that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So certainly Felix was in that category. He was in need of salvation. Sin is what separates one from God. And if we die in that separated state from God, we will suffer an eternity in hell, always apart from the Lord of glory. Now, he was able to hear the words of salvation. He was in need of salvation. He was in need of being spared from that awful fate that awaits sinners in a flaming eternal hell. Paul was giving him that information. He was telling him what he needed to be able to have forgiveness of his sins. Now, the question is, what would Felix do with that information? For a moment, at least, he considered the destiny of his soul. He reflected upon his condition, standing before the righteous Lord, the judge of all the earth. He saw where he was heading, and it caused him to tremble. Here the text says that he trembled. He shivered, shuddered and quaked at the very thought of being cast into that eternal fire where the beast and the false prophet are, that place prepared for the devil and his angels. That place called hell is reserved for sinners and consists of the blackness of darkness forever, as we read in Jude verse 13. Here Felix saw himself being cast into that lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Apostle John spoke of this place called hell and said of those who go there, Revelation 14, verse 11, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." For a moment at least, the thought of that awful fate hit home with Felix. For a moment, he actually thought far enough ahead to look beyond the present. But there was the devil whispering in his ear, saying, "Don't listen to this man. Don't consider his words. Felix, think of your position. Think of your power and prestige. Think about what you'll have to give up. Think of what will happen to you. You can't do this." The devil would say, "Resist! Resist! Resist!" Felix now was confronted with a choice. It was a choice between life or death. Would he continue to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which Hebrews 11:25 is described by Moses as only being for a season, that is, for a little while? Or would he choose to abandon his sin and to drink of that well of living water that springs up into everlasting life. The decision he made was given in his answer to Paul. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, where we read, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Even though Felix met with Paul many more times, the Bible leaves the story with a sad ending. Nothing more is said about that so-called convenient season. Perhaps he had good intentions. Perhaps he fully intended to obey someday. But there's no indication he ever did. On the contrary, all indications are he never found that convenient season. I wonder how many through the ages have been like Felix and left this world unprepared to meet God. Oh, what would they give now for another opportunity to repent and obey? The rich man lifted up his eyes being in torments in Luke 16. Oh, he'd certainly tell us. He'd tell us, "Don't forget to obey. Don't come to this terrible place." Jesus reminds us in Matthew 16, verse 26, that one soul is worth more than the whole world. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, those of you that are hearing me now have a choice to make. You can continue in the way that you're going, a way that leads to death, a way that leads to eternal separation from God, or you can choose to believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess that faith in Christ before all men. And be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. What will you say? What will you do? Will you be like Felix and tremble at the thought of an eternal destiny separated from God and to spend it with the devil and his angels? What a loss, what a tragedy that would be. The Bible continues and tells us that Paul was left bound, imprisoned by Felix, because he thought Paul might offer him a bribe to be let go, and also because he saw that it pleased some of the influential Jews. But within 2 years' time, we find that Felix was no longer heard of, and a man by the name of Porcius Festus took over as governor in the place of Felix. And the very same contentious and antagonistic Jews who sought Paul's demise before Felix now seeks to persuade Festus likewise. Festus orders Paul to come before him, and while the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, we read where Paul makes his own defense and appeals to be judged before Augustus Caesar, who was the emperor of the Roman Empire. We read in Acts the 25th chapter, beginning in verse 13, that after certain days when King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus, and when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." Then we read in verse 22, when Agrippa said to Felix, "I would also hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," said he, "thou shalt hear him." And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. Here we find Paul is allowed to speak and tell of the circumstances which led up to him being held in bonds and now appearing before King Agrippa. He was not at all impressed nor disconcerted by the pomp and brilliant display of the high rank of his audience. He knew full well how little worth such things are in the sight of God. All that earthly splendor and power did not for one moment intimidate him. Paul promptly speaks of Moses and the prophets, foretelling that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning hath made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then in verse 28 of Acts 26 we read, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Oh, what wonderful words now were spoken by the Apostle Paul to this man named Agrippa, who was a king of the whole land. Why didn't Agrippa pay attention? Why didn't he listen? Why didn't he learn? How many that are within the sound of this message today, you know the truth, and yet remain unrepentant? You've heard the gospel many times, and yet you go unchanged. You continue in your own way. And you know down deep in your heart, if you've heard the truth long enough, that you'll not get out of this world alive. We're all going to go the way of all the earth, which simply means we're going to die. And will one day stand before the righteous judge of all the earth. And the Bible records in Matthew 25 how that when he sits upon the throne of his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he separate all the multitudes of the earth into two groups. He'll set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Here the righteous people, the faithful people, the obedient people under the Lord's commands are thought of as sheep, of meek and mild, humble and obedient. But the rest, the unrepentant, the sinful, the people that never obey, the people that turn their back on God, are classed and considered as those who are goats, the stubborn, the rebellious. They will not listen, they will not obey. Friend, what is so with you? What is so in your own life? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Why not turn to the gospel and learn the truth and obey it today? That is our prayer. If we can assist you, give us a call and have a very pleasant, good day.